So in the skies over somewhere in the Atlantic between Africa and South America, tragedy.
We are facing a very dramatic event, an accident, a tragic accident. The chances of finding survivors at this point is very little.
French President Nicolas Sarkozy talking about what happened to the Air France flight, an Airbus 330 that vanished in a towering thunderstorm. No words from the pilot that they were in crisis. The plane beamed out several automated reports that its electrical systems had malfunctioned. And according to one report, it perhaps lost cabin pressure. The signals were sent not as distress calls and were not read for hours until air traffic controllers realized that the plane's crew had not radioed in on schedule. Putting together the pieces of what is apparently a tragedy with the loss of 228 lives at least, is the work of air traffic investigators who are now trying even to find where the plane went down. Joining us now is Graham Warwick, senior technology editor for Aviation Week. He's in Washington, D.C. Graham, first on the minds, I think, of people who even heard sketchy reports yesterday is the idea that this plane was in some kind of storm, may have been struck by lightning, and there was an electrical failure. You know this plane. You know the electronics on the plane. What does an electrical failure mean, and could it have been caused by lightning?
Well, most of the things on an airplane these days are either powered or controlled electrically, so it's a pretty important part of the airplane. But because it's a pretty important part of the airplane, there are many, many levels of redundancy to prevent a total loss of power. So it's quite an unusual, almost unthinkable situation to actually totally lose power.
Now, you know, oddly, last week we totally lost power in this studio, and shockingly, you know, we couldn't go on the air for like an hour and a half. But on a plane, what happens? If lightning takes out some sort of electrical system, there's a battery backup, and you've got a limited amount of time, what conceivably would the pilots be going through in the cockpit? Would they be flying blind? Would they be attempting to get the engines restarted? What sorts of things would be going on?
Well, to begin with, it's quite hard to work out how a lightning strike could cause a total electrical failure. The two different things. But if you were to assume that there was an electrical failure of some sort, the main power comes from the engines. There's two engines. Each of those engines has two generators generating power. If you lose the engines and lose those generators, there is an auxiliary power unit in the tail that can be started and has a generator on it. Now, there's a gap there while you start up the APU if it's not already running and get that going. That gap is bridged with batteries, which can drive the essential systems until the APU is up and running. If you have a problem with the APU, the last ditch, as they call it, is a small propeller that drops out the belly of the airplane and drives the hydraulic pump. And then on the hydraulic system is an electrical generator that will then power the system. So you may see some interruption of the displays. I mean, they may flicker, they may go out and then come back again. It's a fly-by-wire airplane, which means that the pilots' control inputs go through a computer before they get to the control surfaces. But they are separately have their own backup batteries and separate power sources. So there's usually, you know, it's when they certificate these airplanes, they look for, you know, minuscule possibilities.
Sure.
and try to design those out. So I mean, to interrupt the power of the fly-by-wire system is incredibly rare. To have some sort of interruption to the display system as the power systems are switching over is possible.
Well,
and what would the pilot do? I mean, most of it is handled automatically. He'd see things coming up on his display saying generator out, switching to back. You know, a lot of it is handled automatically. The checklists for things he has to go through come up on the displays, and he follows through the checklist. So usually you'd have time to work your way through a fault tree of things to do before something became catastrophic.
And this was at cruising altitude, so we're talking, you know, 30,000, 39,000 feet even. You know, presumably there's a lot of time there before you would hit the ground. What would they be looking at as a kind of a catastrophic failure that would cause a crash from cruising altitude, which is pretty rare?
Yeah, and that's one of the reasons. I mean, this is why people are so surprised by this. It was a relatively new airplane, a reputable airline, an experienced crew, all of whom would know what to do if it was conceivable accident. I mean, most airlines have become so safe that when you get accidents these days, they tend to be unique combinations of events, chains of events that lead to a catastrophic failure. So we're looking at this, and all of us are thinking that it's not one thing. Aircraft are designed to survive lightning strikes. Aircraft are designed to survive severe turbulence. Aircraft are designed to survive electrical failures. The only thing that we can think of looking at this with a total lack of information other than that last message from the airplane is that there was a chain of catastrophic failures that gave the crew no time whatsoever to either realize they had a problem, or realizing they had a problem, they had no time to alert or respond to whatever the problem was.
And putting that chain together is going to require the flight and data recorders, and they may never be found. So far, there isn't even a location where the plane went into the water. Graham Warwick, thanks so much for joining us. Senior Technology Editor for Aviation Week joined us from Washington, D.C.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.